CliffCentral.com.
I didn't realize this was going to be such a sad song. I wouldn't have played it.
Who is it?
The Veronicas, and You Ruin Me.
All of them are the sad, or just main Veronica?
It's sad, right? I think all three Veronicas are sad.
Sia had that look on his face when he listens to Adele, and I...
Yeah. Seems like a sad song. All right. Well, well, well. Look at this. Monday morning on cliffcentral.com. South Africa's looking nice and bright and cheery this morning. The 8th of February, if for some reason you're watching the calendar. I mean, people have things to do, right? You might have a whole lot in the calendar for the 8th of February. It's only a few days till Valentine's Day, Mubs. It's happening this Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Have you got a date?
I haven't decided yet. Mm.
But you'll make that move.
Yeah, well, you go around grabbing guys' balls and shaking their hands. Oh, you want a date on the back of that.
Yeah, exactly. See how that works out for you. Exactly.
Don't think people don't listen to you here, my buddy.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, there's a book out called Now Following You. And we're going to speak to Fiona Snickers, who's the author. And Fiona has written this. It's a novel. And I think there's probably a lot in it that is related to what's really going on in most people's relationships and lives, but there's probably a lot of it that is not too far from the truth, even if it is made up, because this is the reality of modern dating, of modern stalking, of people following you, people you don't know, who get really intimate in your personal life and start to figure out who your friends are, who your family are, where you've been for the weekend, what you do in your spare time, and it's all maybe a little bit too close for comfort. How are you, Fiona?
Good, thanks, Gareth.
Good. This is one hell of a book.
Thanks.
Yeah. I hope it does really, really well. But, I mean, you've been writing for a long time. You've been writing since you were 10 years old.
Yeah, unpublished, but, yeah, I've been writing since I was a child.
That's impressive. Yeah, it's very, very good. I'm trying to write. I can't even write a sentence anymore. I'm useless. But tell me, you also blog for the Mail and Guardian, right?
That's right, yeah.
And you do book reviews for the Sunday Times. You're busy, busy, busy. You're very prolific. Is it something that comes to you naturally, or is it like a deadline chore situation where you go, oh, my God, I've got to get this thing out by tomorrow at lunchtime?
Yeah, I think the other stuff like the blogging and the book reviewing and so on is deadline-driven, but the need to tell stories is something that's inside me. Since I was a kid, I've always just wanted to tell stories. I've always got stories going around in my head, and I have to let them out.
It's sort of like a composer who needs to write those songs.
I suppose it is, yeah.
Yeah. Now, this book is about stuff that I suppose a lot of us could relate to, which is why I think, you know, a lot of people would be interested in what's in it. It's essentially, I mean, it is a story, but there's stuff here that is, it must have required a bit of research.
Yeah, if you can call going on Facebook a lot research.
Did you find yourself on Facebook and suddenly going, oh, my God, that's a chapter, that's a chapter, that's something I could write, that could happen to the characters, this could happen to them, just based on what you were seeing in your friends' timelines?
Yes, I've been active on social media for the last 7 years or so, mm-hmm. and especially interesting has been the evolution of Twitter and the way in which it has encouraged people to drop all their boundaries personally, to put their whole lives out there. We've now got Instagram, Vine, various other platforms, but Twitter was the one that really saw the boundaries come down and people start tweeting about what they were doing on a daily basis, what they were thinking, what they were feeling. If they'd just been shouting at their kids, they'd put it out there. If they just had a fight with their partner, they'd put it out there. They'd blog about it and then tweet a link to the blog.
And those incessant pictures of people's food.
Yeah, there's the food. I think Instagram was made for the food pictures, wasn't it?
Oh, it's the worst. If someone posts foodies, then I just unfollow them. I can't.
No, the actual worst is when they say, oh, we forgot to take a picture at the beginning of the meal, so here's the picture at the end of the meal, and you see this sort of detritus crumbs, and crumbs and revoltingness and a sort of half-licked fork, and that is the absolute worst.
You have people who do that?
I do. I've seen it on my timeline.
We must find out if anybody here does that and immediately bring them to justice. So the inspiration for all of this, I suppose it's just it's your reality. It's everybody's reality at the moment, right?
Yeah, it's the new normal. It's perfectly acceptable to live your life out loud. And for most of us, most of the time, there aren't any consequences. But if you put a foot wrong or you share too much or somebody takes an interest in what you're doing, then the consequences do start to pile up, and that's what I was interested in. What happens when there are consequences? That's what I was writing about.
So tell me about the characters in the book and kind of what happens.
Okay, well, the main character goes on. The main character is called Jamie Birchall, and she's an unpublished writer, and she's putting her novel out there in serialized form on her blog, hoping that a publisher is going to spot it and be completely blown away and offer to publish it. I mean, it's happened before. It happened with The Martian, which is now a Hollywood movie. It doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
Sure.
And she's also, because she's always lived her life online, ever since she was a little kid with a Moshi Monsters account or a Club Penguin account, this is natural for her to put every movement, every thought, every outfit change, every meal, to put it all out there on social media. And she's building her profile and hoping to attract some kind of good attention in the form of a book deal. And as it happens, she attracts some negative attention in the form of a stalker.
All right. Now who's the hot running guy?
Hot running guy is her neighbor. He's lives next door. He's half American, half South African, and they start up a relationship.
Right, and she kind of lets him into her life.
Yeah.
He's not a bad guy, though, is he?
Well, that's kind of a spoiler, but no, he's a goodie.
And what I like about the book, too, is that you kind of take tweets that you've made up between her and the other people in her life, and you've put them into the book as a separate kind of, it's almost, you read through the tweets as if they're happening in the course of the story.
Yeah.
Which is exciting, because again, it shows you what's going on in people's lives. As they tweet, they're busy, you know, getting to know each other. She's talking about what she's doing. She's asking her friends for their opinions and certain things, and you have all kinds of stuff going on in there, stuff that I suppose happens to all of us, where someone says, oh, you know, there's this animal that's been abused or whatever, and what do we do about this? And then all her friends start suggesting what she should do.
Yeah, I was interested in the way that discussions can skid completely out of control on social media. Someone posts some innocuous comment, and the next thing someone else has taken offense, and then someone's taken offense at the taking of offense, and then they're having a full-on fight on your timeline. And it happens surprisingly often, and it can be amusing, or it can be extremely irritating and have you reaching for the blood pressure medication.
Yeah, do you think that social media is dangerous in that respect? Because it does need moderation, or it at least needs someone who can keep an eye on things not spinning out of control.
I think it needs people not to be complete children, frankly.
But we can't help it. Some of us are just morons, right?
Some people are complete morons, yeah. I think people just need to be grown-ups about it. And because there is no mommy who's watching, who's going to moderate and police this, we have to police ourselves. We have to rein ourselves in and not be completely moronic about it.
Well,
and
for the longest time, I thought that social media was a peer review system where, you know, if someone was out of line, they said something that was horribly unacceptable in a social context or any other, that the rest of the people on Twitter or Facebook or wherever would call them to order and say, you know what, don't say that kind of thing, and we'd move on. But it seems almost like it's turned into this mob. And that mob is a law unto itself. They hold kangaroo courts and string people up. And then once they've had their fill of blood, then they just move on to the next victim. And whoever it was that was so outrageous and egregious in the beginning seems to be forgotten about and just left there. I mean, I don't know if anybody's bothered to go anywhere near the South Coast to go and visit Penny Sparrow anytime soon. But I wouldn't be surprised if she's as quiet as a mouse now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a peer review system so much as a shark tank with someone chumming the waters. It's completely out of control. And maybe all the outrage has some point, maybe it's sort of guiding society towards more proper thinking. Maybe it's not a bad thing to silence and shame the penny sparrows. But yeah, it's definitely cyclical. These things come in little peaks and waves and then dissipate completely and get forgotten.
And your book is more about the danger of individuals rather than the danger of a mob.
Yes, yes. I hint at the mob behavior in some of my fake tweets and Facebook posts. But yeah, it's about being that one person who attracts the attention of somebody who is really quite evil and delusional and sees you as something that you're not, becomes obsessed with you and starts following you.
You know, it used to be that stalkers and that sociopaths, they used to have to go to a lot of trouble to inveigle their way into people's lives. And it wasn't always easy. You'd have to arrange a date with some girl if you were a crazy psychopathic guy. You'd have to arrange a date with this girl. You'd have to win her over. And then slowly you could start to be the real you, I suppose, in her presence. And then eventually, hopefully, she would realize this and get the hell away from you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get a court interdict or whatever was required. But in the real world, now, there's such a blurring of lines. And it's so much easier to actually get to someone, thanks to social media. You could look up a guy or a girl, and you could get into their life, and you could find out things about them that before you would need to be the CIA to know.
Yeah, that's true. And if you were following someone, they would see your face. They would know who it is who's following them around. Mm. And as you say, could get an interdict against them.
Yeah.
But on social media, it's zero risk at the moment. You can follow someone completely anonymously.
You can make a fake account, right? And there are a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook who I suppose aren't real people at all. Yeah. They're someone pretending to be someone else.
Yeah.
And they build, a lot of them go to a huge amount of trouble to build these fake profiles up so that they can remain anonymous.
Yeah, the stalker in my book creates a fake anonymous profile and uses it to follow Jamie. So there's no risk, there's no blowback to himself. He can do this extremely intrusive behavior without any consequences to himself. It's completely effortless.
Tell me, when you wrote this, you had to do some research. I mean, you said glibly that you just kind of went on Facebook a few times. But when it comes to the stories of women who have had a guy stalk them like this online, or guys who've had people stalk them online, I suppose, there must be some real horror stories out there, and probably we don't know a lot of them.
Yeah, to be honest, I put it out there on Facebook and on Twitter that I was interested in stalker stories, people who had incidents on social media that made them feel violated or uncomfortable.
Mm.
And I thought, well, I'll probably have to do this several times over several months to garner enough stories to have something to work with. Within minutes, the stories started coming in. Always from women who had these incidents that had still to this day made them feel icky and violated. In a lot of cases, it was people from their past who they thought would stay in the past, who then found them by searching for them on social media and had then popped up out of the woodwork to behave in various inappropriate ways.
Yeah, I'm sort of jealous of people in the 1800s who were able to actually get away from each other completely. You know, you could get on a ship and you could go to another continent and you would never see the people that you left behind ever again. And I think for a lot of women who've been in awful relationships, you used to be able to say goodbye to a guy, and he would remain in the past. He'd have to go to some trouble to track you down.
Yeah.
And if he did manage to track you down, you'd immediately know, and you could report him, or you could have some kind of defense against him. Now, all they have to do is do a Google search.
Yeah, I had women who had unfortunate relationships when they were at university in America, and had then come back to South Africa thinking they were leaving that guy in the past forever, only to have him pop up on their timeline in 2008 or something.
Mm, not nice.
No, not nice.
Is it? You said it was always women, and that. What is it with men that they're so predatory? What is this behavior?
I can't answer that. Isn't it bizarre?
No, I'm not asking you to be a psychologist for all men, but there's something very strange about this desire in some guys, not all, obviously, in some guys to have the woman who clearly doesn't want you, to force her to want you. It's the weirdest thing. Like, if I were around a woman who didn't want to be with me, I wouldn't even try. It would put me off. I'd be dejected about the whole thing. But I certainly wouldn't force myself into her life. Dude, what do you think that is? Is it a kind of a chemical imbalance? Do you think it's a...
I think it's a strange sense of entitlement. Some men have been brought up to believe that women owe them something.
Yeah.
And that if they extend some kind of attention to women, then it has to be reciprocal. That woman owes them attention in return.
If I like you, you've got to have sex with me.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You owe me something. And if you don't come to the party and give me what I want, well, I'm just going to keep pushing harder until you realize this contract exists between us, that you actually owe me something.
Unbelievable. Do you think in South Africa it's worse than anywhere else? Or do you think we're about the same?
I would hesitate to say that. I think it's a system that exists all over the world. I think in South Africa we messed up in various different ways because of our past. But no, I think this kind of patriarchal contract that is believed to exist between men and women, it's worldwide, it's pervasive.
Do you think that women in South Africa are particularly vulnerable to this stuff? Because maybe, you know, that there isn't as much of a confidence imbued in young women when they're growing up. I mean, I don't expect you to answer this as a psychologist, but you must have thought of these things when you were writing the book. That here's this girl who she desperately wants to be published. She's got this writer in her. She's doing this blog. But it's also almost, it's this neediness, you know, which I suppose for a lot of men signals, oh, this is a girl that I should be involved with.
Yeah,
does that make any sense?
I think that
a
lot of women in South Africa are extremely vulnerable. And those women aren't on social media. I think they just are poor, living lives of quiet desperation, dependent on men for the food that they eat. It's a particular kind of vulnerability that doesn't necessarily affect the middle classes, who are the people who are on social media. And I think it affects the poor in any society all over the world. In terms of social media and the middle classes in South Africa, no, I don't think there's anything particular to South African women that makes them needy or vulnerable or whatever it is that sparks a predator's attention.
What do you think it is? What's that moment where Jamie realizes in the book that this is now a problem? And where I suppose for a lot of people in real life, if you have someone who's potentially a stalker but you don't realize they are yet, at what point do you go, oh, hell, this is a problem?
Yeah, I think the more time you spend on social media, the less aware you're going to be of those clues. Because, again, as a woman, if you put yourself out there, put a photograph of yourself out there, say what you're doing or what you're feeling, you're going to attract negative attention. There are going to be men who call you fat or gross or old or disgusting or various other things. And you kind of have to develop a thick skin. You realize it's par for the course. If you don't like it, you're going to have to get off social media altogether. If you're a woman who expresses an opinion in a public forum, you've also got to be used to being shamed for various imaginary crimes. And it has to be pretty persistent and ongoing before you realize that a single person has actually singled you out and is going to be carrying on with this. In the book, Jamie actually misses several clues that this guy has taken an unhealthy interest in her because she's just so used to men abusing her online. And it actually takes quite a while before it penetrates that this is
a problem.
This is a problem. There's something else going on here.
Do you know anybody, or have you had any experience in your own life of social media getting out of control?
Getting out of control, yes. I think I used to share much more on social media than I do now. And I had some unpleasant experiences, and now I'm much more guarded with my private life.
What sort of unpleasant experiences? Were people being nasty? What happened?
I think that I used to sort of have a bit of a sense of humor on social media. I used to crack jokes and say absurd things that I knew the right audience would take the right way. They wouldn't misinterpret it. But then the wrong audience would see it and would accuse me of not loving my kids because I'd been venting about them or being a bad mom or having terrible eating habits because I joked about all the sour jelly tots I like to eat or something like that, you know, where someone would take it seriously and be incredibly vindictive in quoting you and saying, how can you be this kind of human being? And my response was to pull back and protect myself. And in the book, Jamie's response is to say, to hell with that. I'm going to carry right on doing exactly what I'm doing. Nobody's going to shame me into keeping quiet. But my response was to pull back and guard my privacy more.
And which do you think is the right response?
I think the courageous response.
You've imagined it from both sides.
Yeah, the courageous response is Jamie's response. And it's easier to do when you're a young single woman. Mm-hmm. But when you've got a family and people who are affected by the things you do and say on social media, you do have to be a bit more careful.
Do you think that there's a lot of fun that's gone out of social media?
Yes. I think it used to be a more playful space than it is now.
Yeah, it's become very serious sometimes. And not intellectually rigorous serious. Serious as in everybody has an axe to grind.
There's less room for irony, flippancy, throwaway remarks. There's less room to be absurd or to be hyperbolic or to say something that's not 100% serious. You have to be prepared to stand behind every single thing you tweet in a court of law. You have to be prepared for it.
I know.
Yeah, you do know.
Don't I know? But that's the truth. And I do think that that's kind of a sad situation for us to end up in because I'm a fan of social media. I like the fact that everybody's allowed to have opinions. We're all allowed to share our opinions. We're allowed to argue with each other, to laugh at each other, to play with each other. But we seem to be suddenly making this a very angry, sad, serious place.
I'm hoping it's a pendulum and that it's going to swing in the other direction soon. I'm hoping this is as low as it gets in terms of extreme seriousness on social media. I hope that in a year or two we're going to be able to be playful again.
Well, I hope so too. But your book certainly is fantastic. And if people want to get it, it's available at all good bookstores now. I wish you luck with it.
Thank
the book
you.
Is called Now Following You. It's Fiona Snickers. And you can get it immediately if you feel like a good read over the next few days. And certainly something to make you a little more cautious around Valentine's Day. Right? But you're not setting yourself up as one of these social media experts who goes around warning people about the dangers of the internet. You're just a writer.
No, not at all. I'm just a writer.
Just a writer. There's nothing wrong with being just a writer. It's a talent I think a lot of people wish they had. Well, thank you.
Thanks
very, very much, Fiona, and all the best with the book.
Thank you.
Fantastic. There we go. When we come back in a moment or two, we got a few things to wrap it up with. I'll tell you what else is on cliffcentral.com for the course of the morning. And you can join us. If you want to call, 0861-555-189. That's 0861-555-189. What do you mean? Justin Bieber. What do you mean? And what do you mean? Have you ever been stalked? Ever had anyone stalk you? It's, listening to Fiona talk there about this book that she's written, and I just thought, better make up your mind. What do you mean? I don't know that I've been stalked. I've had a lot of creepy messages, but then I just block those people, move on. And they usually, look, I'm a cold kind of guy when it comes to that. You know, it's very clear from the start whether I'm interested or not. And if I'm not interested, you get that message loud and clear. I think that puts stalkers off. There's no ambivalence with me.
Well, what do you consider to be a creepy message?
Like, let me think. The creepiest, there's often these kind of, there are these women who are, it takes a certain amount of confidence. So they're usually a bit older. They might have a divorce on the cards, or they're going through one, or they've already been married and now they're divorced. They got kids maybe. They don't have a lot to lose in terms of their own personal happiness because they just feel like they need somebody. And then, you know, they take a chance. But it's not always creepy. The creepy ones are the ones who are like, you know, I want to come around and suck your dick. Sure. Those ones, you know. And you kind of, honey, I don't know you. Thanks for the offer. Thank you. But I do not know you. And for all I know, you could murder me in my sleep. Or maybe you cut it off like Lorena Bobbitt. I always go to the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
That's why I'm unlikely to be taken advantage of in this respect. You ever had any stalkers, Babs? You must have.
I had a stalker, but it wasn't on social media.
It was in real life?
Yeah.
This guy just wouldn't leave you alone.
Well, the thing is, we did that thing the one year where Leanne and I went on dates for Valentine's Day with two people that we'd never met, right? For the whole big thing. Damon came with us as security.
Gosh. Yeah, and he should have stayed as security forever.
And then after meeting this guy, I was basically being harassed daily via my email. I eventually had to get the security people at the SABC involved because he was sending me emails like, I'm the product of a rape, and I really...
He was. Wow.
And he said, I really want to make you my day number seven woman, because, you know, I've got a woman for every day of the week.
Jeez.
And I'd really like to make you the number seven day. So I was like, okay,
you're like,
no.
Oh, number five, we could talk, but not number seven.
The nice thing about it was that he was careless enough to email me from his work email address.
Oh.
So the security people phoned him and they said, if this woman gets another email from you, we are actually coming to your boss and we're going to show him all the things that you've been writing to her.
You stupid bastard.
And then it stopped.
Jeez.
He was just a very strange person.
Some people can't take no for an answer, though, huh?
But I'm pretty sure he had some kind of mental instability as well.
Hey, there are lots of... They say one in every four people does. One in every three or one in every four.
That's at least two of us here.
Hey, Sia, you ever had a stalker?
I haven't had like a full-on stalker. I've received the odd message, or freaky message on like Facebook. And now what's becoming very, very familiar, sadly, is like people sending me messages on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, I had a revolting old man once send me like pictures of his genital.
That was
pretty appalling.
Yes.
Kind of rare though.
There was more hair than penis.
Oh.
Most recently, this person.
So I sent it to everyone I know. Oh, it's disgusting. More recently, you were saying?
More recently, this person on Instagram says, nice photos. You seem quite happy. Ooh. What am I meant to say to that?
Like, you're just meant to make yourself available to them.
But is that stalking, though? Because, you know, these days, people...
Well, the way the messages continued, it kind of...
To qualify as a stalker, there has to be repeat attempts to get into your life. Flex?
I have, like, quite often girls on, like, Instagram and Twitter and that DMing me, like, saying let's meet up and favors like that. But I've only had one guy ever...
Ever had beaver shots? Just, like, girls taking naked pictures and sending them out of the blue, you don't know them?
Offered, but, like, I'm not into that stuff.
Okay.
I've had one dude, he got, like, quite hectic.
Were any of them attractive?
The girls?
Yeah.
Not really. Oh. But this dude, he kept sending me on Instagram, like, private messages. I didn't know how to stop it, and he kept going and going and pushing me. Eventually, I just sent him a message, listen, you're turning into quite a stalker, and I'm the type of dude that stops his car, goes to the boot, and gets a baseball bat.
Oh,
and then he stopped.
So you had to get quite... Was it someone from Bearfest, maybe?
No, but it was some scrawny guy, like in America, I think.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, that's just trolling.
Well, you never know, huh? These people... Because now there's a global audience of this. Ben, ever had a stalker?
Back in my DJing days, uh-oh. But she wasn't very committed. I mean, she came to, I think, 2 or 3 gigs just by herself, sort of sat, like, near me and just stared at me.
Mm.
But then she's just stopped, so... I don't know. I kind of felt disappointed.
Lucky for you, Daniela's now your girlfriend.
Like, she didn't follow me to the car afterwards or whatever. She had a couple of drinks and then she just left. But I don't know.
Shame. She didn't have the courage to even make a move.
Yeah.
Aww.
Did she froth at the mouth while you DJed? Like,
what kind of people froth at... Have you ever seen someone froth at the mouth?
She didn't have rabies here.
What? Froth at the mouth. What kind of thing do you think happens?
She's just there. She sits and just stares at you, just like salivating.
Hey, you know, we're joking about this, and Mubs's one is quite serious. But obviously, if this stuff happens to you, you've got to tell people. Because next thing you go missing, you're in the boot of someone's car. You know? Yeah. It happens. There are some seriously scary people out there. And you never know. As we've said before, you know, you hear about these serial killers and these people who shoot up a school in America, and they go and interview the neighbors, and they always say, so what was little Johnny like? And they always go, oh, he was such a well-mannered boy. He was such a nice boy. We would never have thought he was capable of this.
You know, he always offered to take out my luggage in the mornings.
Right.
I mean, sorry, my rubbish.
Luggage.
My
take
rubbish.
Out the trash.
Take out the trash.
Wow.
But have you ever stalked someone?
No, because I just get annoyed after. I'm not even talking about girls I'm interested in necessarily. But after I've messaged you, like, I went through WhatsApp the other day because I was just trying to clear it out, and I just saw that there are a lot of people who you would send them messages and they would never reply, or they'd only reply when they needed something from you, and you've got to get rid of those people. Mm. I let go very easily, so I don't think I have the stalker in me.
I think I have the potential to stalk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
No, I can just completely see myself being obsessed with a person. And it hasn't happened.
Hi, this is Carmen.
Oh, my God. I am
Carmen the rapper. How are you?
Yeah, hi. I just want to report something quickly.
What's the problem there?
Yeah, that woman who's sitting opposite you now, she's been DMing me on Instagram, she's been DMing me on Twitter, she's been messaging me on Facebook, she has not stopped for 3.5 years.
But I am the future mother of our 3 babies.
Leave me alone! I already have a woman!
That has never stopped a woman before coming.
You could be my 7th day woman.
Oh, you're bringing flashbacks of a horrible time in my life.
I got a gap on the 7th day.
Wow. You would stalk him, right? Yeah. Come
sure,
on.
I mean,
if you actually had his contact.
If he was actually around.
Yeah, yeah,
but
sure.
I, what I'm saying is I could see myself being potentially obsessed with one individual. I think I have those tendencies.
Maybe. I'm glad you could see it, though. That means that you're healthy.
After that Mars interview, we spoke about who we'd take to Mars, and most would take Common with, and then once he becomes all dribbled out like a piece of dry mango, she would just discard him outside of the capsule and have to go and fend for himself and no oxygen.
That sounds delightful. Who would you take to Mars? Did anybody say they'd take me?
No.
We chose celebrities specific, like, you know, A-listers.
Okay, well, who did you choose? So you chose Common. Ben, who did you choose?
Three women. My whole thing was I'm not taking another guy up there. Otherwise, there'll be fights and murder.
Yeah. Yeah, guys, bad news.
Michael wanted to take 3 guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was it? Was
Justin Bieber was definitely there.
You want to take Justin Bieber, Lil Wayne, and 50 Cent.
Yes, that's it.
Really?
That's what he wanted.
50 Cent? You wanted to take 50 Cent to Mars.
Well, think of all the protection I would need on Mars in case the aliens come. 50 Cent is get rich or die trying.
Okay, and why Lil Wayne?
Just
what an annoyance. Ah. I would make it 5 days into the trip, and I'd have killed Lil Wayne and thrown his body out into space.
And Lil Wayne will bring cannabis. We can try sell it to the Martians. Scissor.
Scissor.
Wheezy.
That's a good plan, though. You take one person as an offering to the aliens. Yeah. Just in case trouble brews, you go, well, you can have this one.
But you still have to sit. You have to sit in that vehicle for 7 months with them.
Yeah, but duct tape their mouth.
No, I think I'd do without that. Katz just messaged me. Let's see what she has to say here.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Katz says, Gareth, Sia is a really, really good stalker. Just ask him. What is that, Sia?
You know this...
Wow.
Somebody's going to have a talking to a little later.
Who are you stalking, Sia?
I don't know what she... Okay, the sad thing is I don't know which incident in particular she's talking.
Sia, don't lie.
Because there have been that many, huh?
Come on.
No, I'm going to be very, very honest. Like, I think social media in the 21st century is... You know, there are certain things that are just here to aid you in, you know, certain cases. So, just give me a first name and I'll be able to find
Friday,
out details.
Friday, you did something very stalkerish with one of the guests.
What happened on Friday?
I don't know. Sia was, like, eyeing him. Kept going, like, it was very awkward. And then found him
who
online.
Who was this guest?
One of the models on, who was it, Jen Su show.
Hear how Sia talks
listen,
about some people.
Listen, good luck to anyone who can find out who was on Jen Su's show on Friday, because there were 700 people here on Friday afternoon for Jen Su's show.
No, but the most good-looking one. He was very attractive.
You know what? Kat's right. All Sia needs is one name. By the end of the day, he'll have the person's surname, his age, what he does for a living.
You are a creep.
If he's single or available.
You're a creep, Sia.
Can I be honest, since we already on this
who
track,
was this person?
He just messaged me.
Who? The model?
Yes.
Who is this person? Tell us who.
Well, I can't name and shame.
Of
like,
course you can. We'll just go and look at the buzz.
No, it's
Friday.
Very old. Okay, one of the guests.
Yeah, come on. Tell us. Now you've got to come out with it. Now we want the truth.
You know, if they say
what's
black people don't blush.
What's this person's name?
No, I'm going to call them Person X.
Person
X walked into studio.
You don't get to call him Person X. Flax, look it up.
Make up the name, Sia. Obviously, Gareth's going to hound you. Just call him Stanley.
No, but then... Stanley.
Stanley.
It's awkward for Stanley now.
Flax, find out who was on Jen Su's show on Friday. We
is this
know.
The guy that you literally looked at like a chicken drumstick? He came up the stairs and you were like... Jeez, he looked ravenous.
No,
for a vegetarian,
nice
you got a
guy.
Very ravenous look on your face.
Oh, he's a nice
he's
guy.
He's a nice guy.
So now he's messaged you already.
Kinda.
Okay, what is this you guys
Well, I have to say, Kat helped me get the number the first place.
What happened?
So she's the accomplice here.
Oh, this is getting even more exciting.
Sia, are you in open relationships? I thought you had feelings.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh, just like that.
Just like the great Kenny Gunene said, true love is just a magazine. Doesn't exist.
So what's the nature of the message?
No, it's just like...
Read it to me.
First vibes.
We don't hide stuff.
No, there's
like,
a limit.
Hey, Sia, good to meet you on Friday. Something like that? Huh?
Okay, wait, let me read to see.
Come on.
You guys are so horrible. Why are we doing this again?
While Sia gets through this, can I also point out that he was singing on Friday. It was so bad that guests from the show actually left. And they said, oh, no, we should get some fresh air.
Meanwhile, they just wanted to get away from the singing.
They just had to get out. That blood was coming out of this woman's ears. It was horrible.
Because who were all on the show? And there were two Miss South Africas.
Yeah.
There was that couple from Power Couple. That's
the gym couple from Power Couple. The gym couple.
Who's Francois Lowe?
He's a designer. He's not the rugby player.
Is he an actor?
He's a designer, I think.
He was there as well.
All right. Who else?
Well, that's it. The two Miss SA contestants, the Power Couple, and then...
Some guy walked off the street, he got lost, and then Sia just grabbed him.
No,
grabbed
this
him
guy's
in.
A model. He did the top model competition over the weekend.
Was he the dude with the long hair?
Yeah, but he doesn't have social media like Twitter. I don't think he's got anything.
Well, he's got Sia.
Well, I have a number.
They're messaging each other directly, please.
Sia, yes.
All I'm saying is these are your juicy years. You need to make the most of it. I won't stay forever 21.
I don't think there's anything wrong as long as you don't get stalkerish. But you managed to find this guy's information very quickly.
Yeah.
That's a 10 out of 10 catch. This guy is very attractive.
Mike. Thank you, Michael.
Well, I want to know his name.
I don't know. He's like MIA on everywhere.
All right.
Found something.
Have you?
There's always Facebook. Yeah, come on, people. Come this on. Is like very...
Wait, Kat's going to fill me in. I love Kat. She gives me all the goss.
Your Kat is a traitor.
His name is Matthew Ford.
The tire tracks on your body.
Yeah, Kat not just threw you under the bus. Kat drove over you with the bus several times.
Yeah. There's no bro code.
She backed right up.
There's no girl code. There's nothing.
Then just before she was about to turn the corner, she turned the car around again and then just did one.
Wait, here's
lap.
The sound. Do you want to hear what the sound is coming from Kat right now? And then you'll hear this sound as well. Just straight after that, you'll hear this sound. As Sia gets crushed under the bus. Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, Kat, you are dead to me.
All right. Listen, that's all we got time for this morning. Let me wrap it up with the un-news. I didn't even get to tell you what... do this quickly. Nina Hastie's in this morning for TG Squared, and Nina and her crazy comrade in comedy Alfred Adrian will bring you some shocking comedy to get your Monday off to a controversial start. By the way, there is a great show on. Nina, Tumi Morake, who else is in it?
Anele.
Celeste Ntuli.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of these women. They are sexy as can be on the poster that I saw, and they're all wearing these crowns.
What's it called again? Bitches Be Crazy or something?
Bitches, yeah. Something
bitches
about
Be Back
Bitches
something.
Be Back, Bitches Be Crazy. I got an invite to it. So that sounds good. They'll probably talk about that a little bit. Ben Karpinski's in with the Bounce Show. What are you doing today, Ben?
Gareth, as you know, the weekend was vast in sport-wise. We got an in-depth rugby interview and then fan interaction through marketing. That's pretty much our other in-depth interview. And then we've got usual wrap-up and sporting funnies.
Very good. Then we've got the Health Hour with Dr. Michelle Moorhouse. Someone asked about the Health Hour early this morning. That's on. Dr. Michelle Moorhouse will bring you advice, the latest research and experts to keep your body in mind in tip-top shape. Then we'll find out all about... Hey, Nina.
Hello, Arthur.
Hey, Hasty.
Oh, no.
How are you?
Mic is on.
I've got to tell you, you look very sexy in that poster for Bitches Be Back or whatever it is.
Oh,
what's the show called?
It's called Bitches Be Back.
Yeah.
A lot of people keep calling it Bitches Be Black, but that wouldn't be right.
No, because you're the
this
new white
girl. This is not hashtag black girls only.
But hang on, who is it? It's Celeste, it's you, it's Tumi, it's Anele.
Anele, Noku Moswete, Atenjiwe Mosley, who is my new favorite comedian. She's hilarious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you'll like her.
Is it going to be filthy?
Absolutely revolting.
I can't wait. That sounds amazing. That's Nina Hastie. She's on next. Then it's Adrian Groenewald and the Leadership Platform, brought to you by Sibanye Gold. They're going to be talking to the MTN SA CEO Mteto Nyati to talk about debunking leadership myths. Prof. Theo Feldsman from UJ will be in as well. They'll also talk to Grant Robson and Adam Rabinovitz from SBU Ed. That's in the business skill conversation. And then it's the SME interview. That's the small and medium-sized enterprise interview with Arthur Wade Anderson, who's the founder of Got Game, a startup focused on education and economic inclusion of people in small communities. Then it's the conversation with the SME audience, which is becoming a very big deal. Leadership in Education with Barbara Dale Jones. And then Pan Africa Connect with Rosie Mutene at 3 o'clock. Join Rosie as she talks to people from across Africa. Aria Kelman's on from 4 until 6. Zalebs, GRT, that's the Gentleman's Round Table. Vaughn Thiel will be in the Spoken Hustle. And Aria will talk CrossFit in fitness and health. If you miss anything, you can always catch it up by going to our podcasts. You know how to do that, right? Everybody does. Let's wrap it up with the un-news. And I'll leave in the capable hands of Ms. Nina Hastie. Go and watch Bitches Be Back. Looks like it's going to be a hell of a show. CliffCentral.com